we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Being Sober and Vigilant. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall be taking our Bible reading from 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13 reads, "Therefore, get your minds ready for action by being fully sober, and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed." I have just read from the New English Translation. Daryl was removed from his role as a pilot because he failed random drug tests twice in a row. Even though he was one of the most talented pilots in the company, his boss had to let him go because he was no longer sober enough for the sensitive job of a pilot. He was going through major frustrations in his personal life and sought comfort through drugs. The company understood that their pilots need to be most vigilant, and a pilot who is high on drugs cannot be vigilant enough, no matter how talented he is. An aircraft can crash if the pilot is not sober enough to observe the slightest warning signs and signals. In order to be truly vigilant, it is necessary to be sober. See 1 Peter 5:8. A distracted and troubled mind cannot truly be vigilant. One of the biggest enemies of sobriety is anxiety and fear. An anxious and fearful mind cannot be truly vigilant. When our hearts are fully set on the grace that we will receive when the Lord appears, it will help us keep our priorities in the right place. And the prince of this world would not be able to sway us with things he can control. A secret to spiritual stability is having our hope fixed on the grace and glory we will receive when the Lord appears. Go into today remembering to cast your cares and anxieties upon the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart. Watch and pray always. Prayer, Lord, please help me to be sober and vigilant. Deliver me from all my fears. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Mark chapter 15 to chapter 16. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Mark chapter 15 to chapter 16.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
asked Pilate.
"You have said so,"
Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him,
"Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of."
But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did.
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead.
"What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?"
Pilate asked them.
"Crucify him!"
they shouted.
"Why? What crime has he committed?"
asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder.
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. And they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he could not take it, and they crucified him. Riding up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying,
"So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself."
In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves.
"He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe."
Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Why long has been darkness?
My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me?"
When some of those standing near heard this, they said,
"Listen, he's calling Elijah."
Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink.
"Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down."
"What is it?"
he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said,
"Surely this man was the Son of God."
Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other,
"Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?"
But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed.
"Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons.
"Peter! Matthew! James!"
She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country.
These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them,
"Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well."
After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
The end of the book of Mark.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.